great day. My title today is I Hear the Sound of the Abundance of Rain. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. What is God saying to you? What do you hear God speaking to your heart? What thing is God promising to do in your life in this season? Before we open the scriptures, let me read to you a couple of things. These are bloopers from bulletins and church announcements that actually happened and that I thought were funny. It's Drug Awareness Week. Get involved in drugs before your children do. I think that was said maybe wrong. Well, the person who borrowed the ladder from the custodian's closet, please bring it back before further steps are taken. The class on prophecy has been canceled due to unforeseen circumstances. How prophetic can you be if you missed that one? Okay. John Robertson and Susan Moss were married October 24th in the church. So ends a friendship that began in their school days. That's not true. Another one like that. We're having baby dedications next week. This was funny. The roses on the altar this morning are in honor of John Henry Moore, the son of Reverend Moore and his wife, Charlene. They meant son is supposed to be son. Join David and Lisa in the celebration of their wedding and bring their happiness to conclusion. That's not true. I'm sorry, these things just make me laugh. Here's a good, this was on a church billboard out in front. Don't let worship kill you. Let the church help. I think that was somehow not thought through when they put that out there. Okay. Applications are now being accepted for 2-year-old nursery workers. Yeah, I think they made us say that wrong. Church is fun. We have had so much fun. And there's so many good stories I can't tell because the people are still alive. Plus, 1 Kings chapter 18 is our main text this morning. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Then Elijah said to King Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. I think just focusing there for a minute. It's amazing what can happen when just one person hears from God. And the entire nation was backslidden. In fact, it hadn't rained because Elijah had declared prophetically it would not rain until he declared it. For 3.5 years, there was a drought, and the drought created a famine. And the famine was having consequence of people's suffering. And so, but Elijah said, I've heard something, and everything's going to change. God doesn't need everyone in your family to hear his voice. If just one person hears from God, the whole family can be saved. The whole family can be delivered, can be healed. God doesn't need everybody in a city to hear his voice. If one believer hears God's voice and declares that in prophetic prayer, they can change, they can make it rain. Come on, you rainmakers. You're called to bring change to dry places by hearing God's voice. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And Romans says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. We all have the capacity to hear his voice. To him that hears my voice, Jesus said 7 times in the gospel, 7 times in the book of Revelation. God's given us the capacity to be led by his Spirit. And so he said, I hear the exact opposite of what's happening. No rain, not just I hear the sound of rain. I hear the sound of a heavy rain, a deluge. I hear the sound of a changed season. In fact, if you want to know what God's going to do next, just look what the devil's doing now. God's going to do the opposite. In your family, your story, your life, he's going to send the rain of healing into your sick body. He's going to send the rain of encouragement into your discouraged soul. He's going to send the rain of breakthrough into your world, no matter what's happened. Delays end, droughts end, because someone hears from God and someone declares that voice in the earth. Amen. I was just married to someone. It's great to have Dr. Michael Smith, front row. He worked all night. He's a physician delivering babies, and he came right from work to church this morning. I think that's pretty awesome. Thank you, Dr. Michael. Don't fall asleep on me. If anyone has an excuse, you got a good one. So Ahab did what Elijah said. He went up and he ate and he drank, but Elijah went to work. And he went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed down to the ground and put his face between his knees. So he got into the birthing position of intercessory prayer. So this is kind of important. I need you to lock in with me here, because circumstances said it hadn't rained in 3.5 years, and the ground was parched, and the crops were dead, and the people were suffering. But this man took a prophetic word and brought it into his prayer vocabulary. Because we're not called to pray the problem, we're called to pray the promise. Don't pray the problem, pray the promise. You could, relieve the burden of things. You can, cast your cares upon God in a beautiful devotional prayer. But man, when you go to work for changing things, so he gets down on his knees. So he's down on his knees, and he makes sure his head gets lower and lower. Now his head is between his legs. His head is lower than his heart. See, we have a problem when we do everything out of our head and nothing out of our heart. We end up talking ourselves out of the reign of a great deliverance because, well, this circumstance or this reality or this problem or this difficulty. And if we're not careful, we'll miss our destiny because we didn't lift our heart above our head. Well, let's say it like this, that we didn't lift our spiritual life above our natural life. Sometimes you got to walk in the spirit when everyone's going crazy, when the family is walking in dysfunction. You got to walk around prophesying things that are going to be. You got to pray things that God wants to do, even while the devil is doing other things. You got to become an expert on God, what God can do, not in what the devil's doing. And so he's down in the birthing position, praying his prophecy, praying his promise. And so, immediately after he starts praying, he does an action, and he said to his servant, "Go look now toward the sea." And the servant went and looked. And so what happened is, prayer births expectancy. So people that pray are people that expect their prayers to be answered. So if you're not filled with expectancy, you're either not praying or not praying right. Because faith creates the appetite to see what you've confessed God can do. So when you pray it, your eyes start looking for it. Here's what Jesus said: ask and it shall be given. Seek. Look for what you've asked for. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. And the progression of prayer is this growing expectation. And finally, you're knocking on the door. I'm not leaving till this door opens. I'm not going to stop till my family is saved, my body is healed, my business blessed, until the city has. I hear this. I'm doing a little meeting this week at the Start the Year Off Right conference here in town someplace. And I'm excited about doing. They're going to say, hey, Pastor Man, tell us what God's saying. Well, he's saying 42,000 things. You know, God's a great multitasker. He's so good about that. So billions of people on the earth, 7.5 billion, and billions of Christians. And to every Christian, God has a perfect word for their season. So he gives us individual bread, manna, that's appropriate. But so we live in this great time when God's speaking. But then there's these generational, larger words that are true for everyone. I'll get there in just a minute. So he says, go look. And the servant comes back and said, there's nothing there. So the servant, maybe he's not that spiritual. He's just reflecting the behavior that he's asked to do. And he's just carrying out, there's nothing there. Hey, I think all of us have had people in our world that are good about telling us what God's not doing. I thought you said this would happen. Nothing's happening. I thought you said you'd be married by 30. Sorry. I thought you said this would happen. I thought you said God was going to do that. And so we have people that seem to not almost delight in telling us what hasn't happened yet. And so he says this. And so the Bible says 7 times he repeated this cycle. So he prayed 7 times for the same thing. See, you have to not let go of something just because it hasn't happened. You have to be, God's going to do this because God said it, and I'm not going to stop believing it. I don't care if you come to this altar during our prayer time. We pray for people every week. Come down front. I don't care if you've been down here 100 times for the same thing. Don't stop coming until you get what God promised to give you. However you respond, just don't stop believing. So he prayed 1 time, nothing happened. So 7 is the number of completion. Perfection is the portrait. You know, 7 days in a week. So he's praying through. Dr. Iverna is here, my spiritual mama, a great woman of God. And so we used to call this in Pentecost, Dr. McCray, Mrs. McCray, Pastor Judy, all these great, and Pastor Bob, that row's got about 1,000 years of Jesus there. And so the cool thing is, we used to call it praying through. Have you prayed through? And so praying through was praying until the burden left and victory came, and you knew the answer was imminent. So that meant you prayed for 1 time, 2 times, 3 times, 1 year, 2 year. You didn't stop. You don't stop praying until you get the note of joy and victory, until victory comes in your heart and you know it's done. And when that comes, it's on the way. And so we pray things through. And so he prays 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times about the same thing. See, the devil wins when we quit. See, I want to teach this generation. I'm so proud of my son, Matthew, who's built a great business, and he's got a great work ethic, and he's a great man of God. And he's a great example of not quitting stuff. Okay? So you can't build something good if you quit before your breakthrough. And so you don't want to be a person, a young person, that's easily dissuaded from a point of destiny because things haven't happened quick enough. If God said it, you keep believing it no matter how long it takes. You pray it through. You believe it through. You stand on it. And so he prays 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Then every time he says, go look. And so the 7th time, the servant came back and said, well, there's not much, but there's something. And prophetic people, we don't need a lot. We just need a little. Come on. I'm preaching on abundance of rain. It rained last night. To me, I'm praying, well, that's a sign from God. Okay. Prophetic folks, we get signs easily, you know. I get signs watching football. That's a sign. And he said, there's a cloud. There's movement. See, you have to get this because big things always begin small. And if you're not careful, you'll miss the big thing because you didn't embrace the small thing. I want a breakthrough. Well, breakthroughs begin often in progressive elements, progressive stages. And so I see a cloud the size of a man's hand rising up from the sea. So a couple, I put the Hebrew definitions of these words. The word rising means to recover, restore, breaking, ascend, climb, carry up. The word abundance of rain, means multitude, wealth, riches, and noise. It's the whole idea of more than enough. But hand is the Hebrew word yod. It means the hand indicating power, means direction, dominion, and strength. And so here's the portrait. I see the hand of God beginning to move. And everything that we've been praying about can be fulfilled when God's moving. When the Spirit of God begins to move, then everything can be fulfilled. Everything can be resolved. Everything can be restored. Everything can be healed. Whatever God's promised you. And so, rising up, restoration. I see restoration rising up in Jesus' name. I hear God saying over his church, it's time for recovery. I see recovery rising up in your family, in your story, in your business. I hear you coming to a new level, a promotional level, an increased level, a higher level of authority and a purpose and of kingdom engagement. Everything's being lifted in this moment. in the kingdom of God. We go from glory to glory. There's always that curve with God. And so what happened next is cool. Elijah said to King Ahab, you better hurry, prepare your chariot, and go down before the rain stops you. So he said, if you don't prepare and get ahead of it, it's going to end up being a complicated scenario because you weren't ready for what God said he was going to do. So King Ahab does, he gets in his chariot. Now it happened, verse 45 says, in the meantime, that the sky became black with clouds and wind. That little cloud, the size of a man's hand, suddenly multiplied. And the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. And Ahab drove away to Jezreel. He gets a couple of things. This generation deserves an encounter with heaven, a revival. A heavy rain is coming to America. A heavy rain. The kind of rain that no one can run from. The kind of rain that finds every sinner, every backslider, every discouraged saint. The kind of rain that makes all things possible. And the sky blackened in Phoenix has a black cloud over it. It is not a cloud of judgment. It is a cloud of unfulfilled prophetic destiny. And the church needs to call down the rain from that prophetic promise and say, it's going to rain in Phoenix. We are a city of refuge, a city of destiny. And God has promised great things for decades to the city. And we want it all fulfilled. And we want to see every drop of rain that was ever intended for us as a community of faith, as a region. And so, then the hand of the Lord, then Elijah gets another specific empowering anointing. And the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. He girded up his loins. That means he took his long flowing garment. He pulled it up to his waist and tied it off. And he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, that's a whole message there by itself. It just means this. God knows how to make up for lost time and give you supernatural acceleration that puts you where you're supposed to be. That here's what Joel says, I'll restore the years to you. God snaps his fingers and in one moment, he can make up in 10 days for 10 months. He can make up in 10 months for 10 years. God knows how to recover your life. Don't worry about your chronology. Don't worry about this stage or this age. Don't tell God what he can't do. God can restore things no matter where you are in your season of life. And so he outran. I just love this picture. There's Ahab going down the road, and all of a sudden, a short little bald prophet outruns him. There goes Elijah. Can you imagine that moment? Wouldn't it be cool if the headline of ESPN today? Today we have a short little bald guy outrunning a horse. It's amazing what God can give you. If you just believe, just trust him and let him work. Amen? So that all happened. So just a couple points. First point, God has a today word for you. So Elijah prayed in that moment what was the will of God for that season. He captured the understanding of what God wanted to do. The drought was to end, the famine to end, the delay to end. And so the today word is what God is saying to the church. Hebrews says, today if you don't harden your heart, hear the voice of God. God has a present truth, the revelation of something that is current. And Jesus said it like this, give us today our daily bread in the Lord's Prayer. And as he was overcoming the devil, he said, man will not live by bread alone, but by every rhema word that comes out of God's mouth. So God gives you a word. When he gives you that word, it gives nutrition in your spirit. It builds your faith. It empowers you in strength. It gives you authority over the enemy and allows you to fulfill what God has ordained for your life. Amen? Come on. God is a today word for your family. God is a today word for your finance, for your store, your health, your destiny, your ministry, for the body of Christ. Pastor, so they're going to ask me, Pastor, what's God saying? I'm going to say, a heavy rain's about to hit America. So we have had sporadic revival, but we're going to have a different kind of revival. It's not going to be come see the big shot evangelist. It's going to be outpouring of God in tremendous regions where everybody gets wet, where everybody in the city, where people come running to the church to get saved because they've been under the reign of conviction, where people line up to get prayed for because they're sick, because the reign of miracles comes to cities. I hear the sound of the abundance of God. I hear the sound of something new and fresh and dynamic. I hear the sound of family healing, family breakthrough, family salvation. I hear the sound of great deliverance coming. I hear the sound of a bound generation being set free. I hear the sound of Jesus building his church just like he said he would. This is not a bad time to be alive in all of civilization, and especially in all of Christian history. This is the best time to be alive. You can't interpret what heaven's doing by the current storm you're in. And so we all the time we hear these, there are, I call them headline prophets. And so politically or economically or spiritually, they'll hear about something and they'll probably say, oh, judgment's here, blah, 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 just nonsensical things. But when you change your channel to the Holy Spirit channel, there's a different sound. And he talks about great things happening. He talks about the move of his spirit. There's more Christians alive right now than all of Christian history combined till now. Every day, 250,000 people come to the Christ for the first time. 2 billion plus Christians around the world. The majority of them are Pentecostal, charismatic, tongue-talking, signs and wonders people. Pentecostal charismatic Christianity is the fastest philosophical movement in the world right now. No matter what you hear, don't believe the nonsense. Entire regions, entire nations are being swept up into the kingdom of God now. This is the best time. And God's not forsaken, forgotten, neglected. His promise to this country, his promise to our city, his promise to this church, his promise to your family, his promise to you as an individual. Your story's not over. God's not done. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain coming to your story. It's important because once the will of God has been made known, there is a secondary step. Prophecy reveals God's will, but prayer fulfills God's will. Don't pray the problem, pray the promise. There's a great teaching about this in 1 Timothy as Paul is instructing his spiritual son, Timothy, who's pastoring the church at Ephesus, and he senses Timothy's in a struggle, so he pens this book. And at the very onset of the book, he declares this truth to Timothy. This charge, verse 18 of chapter 1, I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare. So your prophecy is a tool that you have to use to accomplish God's will. So here's what Jesus said. He said, I will give unto you the keys to the kingdom of God. He said, I will build my church. The gates of hell won't prevail against it. I'll give unto you, Matthew 16, 18, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind in earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose in earth is loose in heaven. So Jesus said, the key is revelation. The action is prayer. So if God shows you, so God doesn't walk, see, we have too many Christians walking around with these huge clumps of keys, these huge key rings rattling. Look at all my keys. They have lots of keys but aren't opening any doors. They're not using their revelation to release God's will in the earth. And so he said, Timothy, take your prophecy off the shelf, put it in your mouth, and start praying it until God does it. Pray it. Okay, the Passion Bible says, so Timothy, my son, I'm entrusting you with this responsibility in keeping with the very first prophecies that were spoken over your life and are now in the process of fulfillment for this great work of ministry. With this encouragement, use your prophecies as weapons as you wage spiritual warfare by faith with a clean conscience. Pray and declare your prophecies. I was sitting in the airport in Ontario in 1985 when we'd begun a church, Mary and I. This might have been 1986, and in Scottsdale, God told me to go up there, and we leased an industrial building in the airport. That's where John Quattrini is a real estate expert there, and so I've signed the lease, and I didn't know what I was 27. I didn't know what I was doing. I still don't know what I'm doing, and you think that would improve over time, but I signed a lease, and then I went to the city, which I did it backwards, and I asked for permission, a permit to have a church there, and they said, we don't want a church in the airpark or an industrial commercial area. So I asked them five times, went there by application, but even in person, and five times the planning commission said no to me, and then once the city council. So they kept rejecting me. Now here I am with a signed lease I can't use. I'm sitting in a building with no air, no water, no electricity. It can't be turned on because I did it backwards. I'm in a ministry in California. I'm sitting in the airport just, by myself at a table, just, what am I going to do? And this prophet walks past me named Dick Mills. So Dick Mills walks past me. He said, Michael, he's known me since I was a boy. Michael, how are you? I said, good, sir. He says, I've got a word for you. So he would give prophecies from Scripture. He had the almost this photographic recall of Scripture. He would give you thematic prophecies with Scripture. So he said, God's giving you favor in your city. And he gave me five Scriptures. Now listen to me. I had no favor in my city. They wanted me out of there. They had no interest in a church invading corporate or industrial regions. But that was the fact. But Revelation was the truth. And so I took those Scriptures and I started pounding the devil. God, thank you for favor with my city. I have favor with Mayor Drinkwater. I have favor with everybody here. The city council, they're going to change their minds. Thank you, God, you're going to build a great church. I just declared every day favor, 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 favor. It wasn't a week later when the city called me, the mayor's office, and said, Michael, we want to apologize on the behalf of our city for not granting you your permit to do this. And we're going to cover all the costs for it. So here, just consider it done. Don't worry about the fees and the structure of the fees. And so we moved into the airpark, the first church to move into an industrial or commercial. And so we're part of the history. John tells me the history of how the city's advanced with churches. So we made history in Phoenix by being the first church to do that, at least in Scottsdale. Now, here's what happened. It happened when I warred with my prophetic word. See, we accept defeat as permanent when God says it's temporary if it's not my will. If God says something different than the factual realities of our circumstances, we win by believing God's word, by praying it, declaring it, prophesying it, proclaiming it until God does it. Amen? So when we say what we hear, we'll see what we say. That's how it works in the cycles of the kingdom for us as believers. So, I'll read the message part of that part, which I thought was cool. I'm passing work to you, Timothy. The prophetic word that was directed to you to prepare you for this, all those prayers are coming together. So get ready, or the message version, get ready, your prayers are coming together in a synchronization and a convergence of fulfilled purpose for your life. Amen? The best is yet to come, the avalanche of heaven, a deluge of heavy rain, everything's going to change, opposites about to happen. The person who's been the most difficult, obnoxious, and resistant to the faith in your family is going to become the most radical Christian believer. So God has something. Just latch on to what God has said and forget all the noise. Every other noise and sound is inferior to God's voice and God's word. Amen? That's God's promise to us. Now, it's taken too long, but James chapter 5. So in the New Testament, there is a specific reference point to this story with Elijah in the book of James. And here's what it says, James chapter 5. Confess your trespasses, King James says your weaknesses, one to another and pray for each other that you may be healed. So, the more honest you are, the more healthy you'll be. So integrity promotes emotional health. It creates spiritual authority, okay? So we want to create at Church for the Nations an environment where we don't have to pretend we can be honest. Yeah, I prayed for somebody. I asked them how they're doing today. They said, I'm not doing that good. I was glad they told me because then I could pray. So We're not here to try to impress each other.
How you doing? I'm doing perfect. Could not be doing better.
Go out in the parking lot and start crying. See, the problem with social media is that it creates an appetite for us to present a part of our life that's only a fraction of the reality. So here's the picture of the couple. We're at church today. They didn't show 5 minutes earlier when they were screaming at each other in the parking lot. Hey, Instagram that. If we're not careful, we'll become afraid of honesty. I'm not afraid of it. Everywhere I go, I tell my story, all the gross details. I wrote a whole book. A couple months ago, someone threatened me. God, give me money or else I'm going to tell all your secrets. I wrote him back, I already told all my secrets. You can't blackmail me. I wrote a book about my secrets. The good, bad, because I know how to get healthy. And so in my profession, there's a susceptibility for preachers to not be as honest as they could be because they want you to think well of them. But nobody in this room thinks I wear a cape. So take your cape off and come and join the real world. There's no supermen up here. There's no superwomen. There's just folks like you. That's right. I'm as dysfunctional as you. As not all of you, but some of you. Confess your faults. And then the Bible says this. The effective, fervent, effective is the Greek word energeo. Filled with energy. Fervent, red hot prayer of a righteous man, woman avails much. Avails much is the Greek word ishkuo. Ishkuo means capable of producing results. So if we want results, we want to pray effectively. Part of effectiveness is passion. Part of effectiveness is direct concentration or focus on something. Okay, I'll get there in just a minute. Elijah, here we go. A man with a nature just like ours. Okay, here is Elijah, just like everyone in this room, a normal person. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3.5 years. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced fruit. So it's kind of a big deal that he's elevated, that story's elevated, because the story begins with a prophecy. But he didn't just prophesy it was going to rain. He prayed his prophecy 7 times. 7 times. 7 times. God said it. God's going to do it. We're going to pray it. We're going to make our vocabulary filled with heaven's promise for our lives. Amen? So here's Elijah. So let's talk about an effectual fervent prayer, what that means. In fact, let me read the Passion version of that. The heartfelt prayer of godly believer, tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. Elijah was a man with human frailties, just like us. He prayed and received supernatural answers. He actually shut the heavens of the land 3.5 years, and he prayed again, and it rained, and the harvest came. Okay? So don't stop praying until it starts raining. So pray through. So let's talk about effective. So number one, if you're not passionate about it, you're not convinced it's for you yet. So passion is the awakening of a destiny promise in your life. So a kingdom passion. It doesn't mean you have to be loud. It just means that in your heart there's a volume of certainty, a volume of determination, I'm going to have this. So people ask me all the time, Pastor, how can I prophesy like you? I said, seek it passionately. The Bible says, desire earnestly or burn with a fire for the gift of prophecy. See, in the kingdom of God, if you can live without it, you will. We obtain things by passion and desire. So an effectual prayer is a passionate prayer. Number two, it's a specific prayer. Well, Pastor, I say, how can I pray for you? Just pray that God blesses me. Well, God blessed you today by your car starting. I pray your car starts in the parking lot. Amen. No, so the more narrow your focus, the more powerful your prayer. So the more specific, the more faith. What do you want God to do for you? I want to see. The blind man walked up. What would you like me to do for you? I want to see. Say it, and God can do it. And let there be a specific request. So the more dynamic the request, or the more direct the request, or specific the request, the more dynamic the results. Amen. So if you're starting a business, well, I just want God to bless my business. Well, pray what that means. How much did that mean this month or this year? Pray numbers. Mary and I, in 1984, I was associate pastor, and I wasn't being paid anything. God helped me conquer. We lived in true poverty in a ghetto next to gang members and widows. And Jesus Christ opened my eyes that I didn't have to live that way. And by faith, we changed our life. And so I took a part-time job, and every day, every week, Mary and I would agree, God, we thank you. Total commission, we agree for $2,000 this week. For 10 months every week on a straight commission, working 15 to 20 hours a week, I made $2,000 a week. I wish now I would have asked for $20,000 a week. But $2,000 was my faith. And God didn't fail me. At the end of that, God told me to move and start. I had so much faith at the end of that, I wanted to become full-time in business because, man, but God says, no, move that into the church world. But it was my business success that launched my kingdom victories. And so it's important because we have not because we ask not. We don't have enough because we don't ask for enough. Get out of survival mode into thrive mode. Get out of just enough into more than. So, well, Pastor, I just wanted just enough. That's good. That sounds good, but it doesn't do any good to others. You need enough to help people. So, yeah, so it's fine if you want to live in a certain way. Settle with contentment. Settle the boundaries of your own lifestyle, but ask God to bless you more so you can give more. Okay? So how many cars do you need? How many homes do you need? So after you've been successful, then start becoming generous in such a heavenly way. Why not you? Why not here? Why not now? And so Elijah prayed 7 times. And so this is a big thing because too many Christians give up too easy. Come on, elbow someone gently and say, don't give up. Don't give up. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen soon. Oh, Pastor, I've been believing for a godly spouse and nothing's happened. I'm going to hit the nightclub. Well, good luck with that. It's better to wait for the right person than get together with the wrong person. I'm just telling you, to pastoring a long time. So beyond that, make sure you don't let go of something God's not let go of. God, what do you want to do? I want to do the same things I want to do last year. Just more of it. See, instead of asking God for a new word all the time, contend for your last word. Contend for that last word. Contend for last. I was standing in Adelaide, Australia, walking the pulpit at a large conference, and the Lord said to me, as I'm walking across the stage, prophesy it's going to rain. I said, you know, I got a sermon here. So I said, before I speak, the Lord said it's going to rain. I prophesy rain. So I'm preaching my message, and the Lord said, stop preaching and prophesy it's going to rain again. I said, I did that once. He said, do it again. I said, I prophesied it's going to rain. So I did. The third time he said it to me, I'm feeling annoyed. Prophesied it's going to rain. Really? I've done it like twice. But I said, okay, it's going to rain. Within 5 minutes or so, I'm on the stage, a big stage. I hear this loud noise behind me. It sounded like metal being crushed or something, like an air conditioning unit kind of breaking up. And so it got louder and louder, and the church is big. And I'm getting more and more concerned because I'm up there by myself. I'm like, am I in danger here? What's going on? And finally, I just stopped preaching. I said, Pastor, is everything okay? You hear that noise? He started laughing. Thousands of people started laughing. He said, it's raining. It's not a normal rain, it's a heavy rain. And when it rains so loud with hail, it hits the roof and it thunders in this room. It rained for 100 straight days. It hadn't rained for 400 days in Adelaide, Australia. And God has something he wants to do. And man, if we can just lock into it, I prophesy rain's coming to your world. I prophesy abundance is coming into your story. I hear the sound of heavy rain in Jesus' name. Breakthrough is coming. Outpour is coming. Overflow is coming. Wisdom's coming. Favor is coming. Supernatural encounters are coming. Divine appointments are coming. The things the devil delayed are coming to an end. I command delays to end in Christ's name. No word of God will be postponed anymore. I loosen the rain to come into your life, your ministry, your family, your story, your business, your children. I declare your health is restored. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain falling. It's not a normal rain. It's a revival rain. It's not a normal rain. It's a miracle rain. It's not a normal rain. It's a saving, healing, delivering, transforming rain. I hear the sound of rain coming to Phoenix this week. God, let it rain again this week as a sign to the city. Show off on the behalf of your kingdom. Do signs and wonders in this generation. Come on, someone stand at your feet and give God praise. I command discouragement to leave your soul, precious child of God. The Lord knows you've been, the longer we go without rain, the more parched our souls. The church cannot survive without revival. We cannot keep living off of the collected rain from a past visitation. We must have a heavy rain. Dr. Ivrina was one of the most important leaders in the charismatic renewal, where millions of people were swept up into the kingdom of God, mostly from denominational churches. God is up to something. It's been 50 years since that happened. That means we're past due. Thank you, God, for building this church. I'm so grateful for everything. But something way bigger than this church is trying to come. Way bigger than what we've seen. We're settling for inferior results because that's all we know. But when I read the Bible, when I study church history, and when I talk to the Holy Spirit, he says, a heavy rain's coming, Michael. A heavy rain's coming. A revival rain's coming. Something you've never seen. Something you've prayed for. Something where sinners rush to God. Where the sick line up to get healed. Where the bound just come into a worship environment and receive miracles. Prayer team, please join me down front. Thank you. Come on, slap your hands to heaven.